The Australian Open tournament director, Craig Tiley, has defended his decision to host qualifying rounds earlier this week, despite the thick bushfire smoke engulfing Melbourne. It follows an outcry on social media from players such as Britain's Liam Brody, questioning why elite athletes with no history of asthma were forced to use Ventolin to cope with the conditions. Craig Tiley said organisers had determined that play would only stop if the PM2.5 concentrate air quality measurement exceeded 200 micrograms per cubic metre of air. Stuart Fraser is a tennis correspondent for The Times and he joins us from Melbourne. Stuart, welcome to breakfast. What are conditions like there in Melbourne today?
Yeah, good morning, Tom. It looks clear this morning. I'm just looking out. My apartment's quite high up, so I can see quite a long way. And I can see quite far up to the north of Melbourne. On Tuesday, the worst day by far, I woke up and I couldn't even see the MCG, which is probably about 600, 700 metres as the crow flies from my apartment. And today, you know, the skies are very clear. So thankfully, all good today.
Very good news. What have you been hearing from players, coaches and support crew? How concerned are they about the smoke?
Yeah, obviously very concerned. I think a lot of the complaints have come from players who were, forced to play out on court on Tuesday. I think a lot of the anger comes from the lack of communication and the lack of a proper explanation really on Tuesday as to why conditions were deemed safe to play. We've seen all the images, the footage of Dalila Jakupović falling to her knees, struggling to breathe. She'd never had respiratory issues in her career before. Also, I spoke to several other players that day and, they could all feel it. Some of them having breathing problems. We saw Eugenie Bouchard and Bernard Tomic both complain about it at some point. And I think the players are just, annoyed that it really wasn't properly explained to them on Tuesday. Now, Craig Tiley did come out yesterday and I was there, stood round him as he came out for about 20 minutes and gave, which was a thorough explanation of why he felt it was okay to play and told us about the process that was being discussed with medical experts. This was 48 hours after the first day of qualifying, which was the most controversial. I cannot understand why it took so long for him to come out and explain all this.
Well, do you think that's because they really hadn't clarified their position internally?
I do suspect that. When you've got Victoria's chief health officer coming out and saying that the Australian Open needs to have a proper air quality policy in place, you've got to think that. I really do feel that I saw it in Sydney a bit last week as well, which was an ATP event organised in conjunction with Tennis Australia. On one of the mornings, I woke up and I could smell smoke inside my hotel room, so I instantly realised, oh, it must be quite bad today. Looked out my window, very hazy, checked the AQI readings, very high. Play just started at on time, 10 o'clock, out at Sydney's Olympic Park. I asked for an explanation from the ATP as to how this decision was reached. What are the numbers that were being read on site? I'm still waiting for a response yet.
If it is the case that, Craig Tiley and Tennis Australia really hadn't got their position clear before the qualifying round started and they only clarified it further after what we witnessed on Tuesday, that seems like a massive oversight given this bushfire crisis started back in September.
Yeah, I really think it is. And for me, as you know, I've been obviously following the bushfire crisis from afar for the first few months. And I realised around the start of December, I would say, that this actually could become a real issue during the tennis tournaments. Obviously, it's nothing compared to what a lot of people in Australia are going through at the moment, but I did think this will be an issue. There could be problems with air quality. And then when I arrived in Australia at the start of this month, I could see it. And I thought it only takes one bad day for is to become even more of an issue. And we asked actually Tennis Australia in Sydney about it last week, and they told us their contingency plan involving the use of indoor courts if it got too bad. And, you know, I got the impression then, okay, that's fine. They've been thinking about it. It sounds like they're well planned for it. But then I've quickly realised over the course of a couple of days, first in Sydney and then on Tuesday here in Melbourne, that really it doesn't seem that they were that well prepared at all.
What reason did Craig Tiley give for not explaining the limit of 200 micrograms of PM2.5 concentrate measurement earlier?
He didn't. It was such a large huddle, and again, for some reason, Tennis Australia staff seemed surprised that there were a large amount of media gathering for a huddle with Craig Tiley, which I found surprising when, you know, he hadn't spoken for 48 hours since the whole incident. So it was actually quite hard to get all the questions in that needed to be asked during this huddle. He didn't fully explain that. He did say, I think he did reference at one point that, you know, they didn't want to have to get into the situation as to like having to explain
the detail. You know,
yeah, exactly. Well, basically, he made clear several times that it's a very complex process and sort of questioned some of the readings that some of the journalists and players had on apps and websites with AQI readings in Melbourne, and he stressed that they're going off their own measurements on site, this PM2.5 reading, which updates, I think, every 4 minutes. But again, this wasn't explained to players on Tuesday, and that's the biggest complaint. Why couldn't someone have shown them even these numbers?
Stuart, do you think, I guess, the problem with bushfire smoke that we've already witnessed, or if there are further problems and maybe further questions about the way Tennis Australia handles this, add to that the threat that fire risks will keep increasing as the climate changes. Do you think it could threaten the long-term viability of the Australian Open being hosted in Melbourne at this time of year?
I think it has to obviously be looked at. There's so many, you know, issues that have clearly arisen in this country as a result of the bushfire crisis. And I'm sure something like this will have to be looked at as well. You know, proper procedures have to be put in place. It has to be on paper. It has to be clear to the players. Obviously, it's great here that Melbourne Park have 3 indoor stadiums. That's something that not any other Grand Slam has. So, you know, it's great that there can be always continuous play on 3 courts, regardless of what the conditions are outside. But obviously, you can't complete a full Grand Slam on 3 indoor courts. And there are 8 other indoor courts at the National Tennis Centre, which is also on site at Melbourne Park. But actually, one of the British players told us the other day that a problem had emerged with these, in that it was actually worse inside there because the smoke was coming through the permanent ventilation and then was struggling to escape. So clearly that's got to be looked at if they're talking about using these 8 indoor courts as a part of a contingency plan in the future. But yes, obviously, I think tennis as well in general has to have more of a look at the impact of climate change and its own impact on climate change, because I think there's areas in which tennis can improve.
Stuart, great to speak to you. Thanks for joining us there in Melbourne. Hope you enjoy the tournament.
Thank you.
Stuart Fraser, tennis correspondent for The Times in Melbourne to cover the Australian Open.